CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
Bryant for the win!
The NBA season is in real jeopardy now, that the players have decided not to settle for half the TV revenue. They want more, and they're willing to break up the union and go to court to try to get it. Benjamin Golliver following the NBA talks for CBSSports.com.
Clearly, this is a huge curveball to the ongoing labor negotiations. People were expecting the possibility that there would potentially be a deal on Monday. The league could start up as soon as December 15th. At this point now, it looks like this battle could be heading to the courts, and it's all kind of a giant question mark.
NBA Commissioner David Stern says the union's executive director is passing up a huge payday just minutes ago on ESPN.
Billy Hunter has decided to put the season in jeopardy.
If players had taken the deal, there would have been a 72-game season shortened. Now there's no telling what will be left, if anything. Resignation at the top of the Troubled Children's Charity in Pennsylvania. That's the focus of a child sex abuse scandal embroiling some officials at Penn State, most notably retired assistant coach Jerry Sandusky. Jack Rakovitz, the CEO of Second Mile, resigned today. CBS's Armin Katayan.
Though Second Mile said in a statement that it was only alerted to allegations of abuse by Sandusky in 2002, that turned out to be a false statement, given what the Attorney General's office said, that in fact Second Mile had been alerted to allegations of abuse, sexual abuse of young boys by Jerry Sandusky as early as 1998.
The Supreme Court has agreed to consider in March the health care overhaul. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi, representing one of the many states suing the government to have it overturned.
We're very optimistic. Our United States Supreme Court, they're the highest court in the land, and they are going to do the right thing.
The right thing is the debate. The White House says upholding it would be the right thing. Police cleared out the city parks of the weeks-old Occupy Wall Street encampment in Oakland, California. Dozens of police protesters were taken away on trespassing charges for refusing to leave. One of the mayor's top legal advisors, Dan Siegel, quit in protest.
Very sad about having to make this decision, but I'm even sadder about the decision that Mayor Kwan made to again send in the police to evict the camp at Franco Gallo Plaza.
Siegel is not giving up any money. He was working as an unpaid advisor. Researchers in Canada are using an old drug, an antibiotic used to fight germs on the skin and stomach infections, to kill leukemia cells. And it's working. Just shuts down the cell's ability to produce energy.
It is able to target the leukemia cells and kill them off through a way that's really different than the standard chemotherapy that we're currently using to treat this disease.
Dr. Aaron Schimmer at the Institute for Cancer Research in Toronto. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 110 points. The Nasdaq's off about 27. Oil right at $98 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. You went to Jared.
That's Jared.
Whether you're looking for charms, rings, or bracelets, you'll find the Pandora collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, to be truly remarkable. With literally hundreds of designs, only the store with five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores could bring you a Pandora collection like this. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora Jewelry at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
Hydraulically fracturing the rock deep underground allows more natural gas to escape for collection. It's also controversial because critics say gas can get into the water.
The U.S. Senate Energy Panel hearing on controversial natural gas drilling in several East Coast states did not offer a platform for those in opposition. John Capacasa is with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
While shale gas holds the promise for an increased role in our energy future, EPA believes it's imperative we access that resource in a way that protects drinking water sources and surface waters.
Supporters of shale gas drilling say it has generated thousands of jobs and lessened U.S. dependency on foreign oil. Jim Grisula, CBS News, Charleston, West Virginia.
Now, how does a coke smuggler lose track of a thing like this? A California man bought a used minivan, took the van to his mechanic because the driver's window wouldn't go down all the way. That was because of the $500,000 in cocaine tucked into the door panels. They called the police right away. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Ford all day long.
And when you stop by now, you can buy Ford Select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service. That's expert service and money back in your pocket.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Be participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
Hey, Billy Bum. How are you, buddy? Hey, it's Monday. You can trust this day when you're with 1340 KYNS, your new station talking to you, because we have Josh Wright in here, and we're going to talk about sports here in a minute. And I want to mention this because it's muy importante. You can go to calcoastnews.com. You can get a preview of the story that we're going to be talking about. Karen Vili will be in at 1:05 after the news today, and we're going to talk about a big monster news breaker.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Hello.
Mo Smokehouse Barbecue has been knocking them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad, six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Mo's has enormous selection of sides from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Mo's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Mo Barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Hey, Pop. Looks like you're ready to do some honeydews. You've got a list, and what's with those knee pads?
I am ready to get her done.
Uh-oh.
We've got guests coming for the holidays, and Mom says we can't have any more plumbing problems like last year.
Yeah, I remember the kitchen faucet wouldn't stop dripping. The garbage disposal froze up at Thanksgiving, and the worst was when after dinner, your weirdo uncle wouldn't come out of the bathroom. What was that all about?
You know, don't even ask. It was ugly, and that's exactly why Mom's got me on the job.
Good thing you're starting early.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has pre-holiday sale pricing on no-drip top-quality kitchen faucets, super-efficient insinkerator garbage disposers, and powerful water-saving Toto toilets. To get sale pricing and an early jump on your holiday honeydews, go to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Hey, bang, right there. Let's do, first I got to find it, because I got stuff all over the place today. I tell you what, we got things going on. I got that. This is for sports, I think. Let me make sure. Okay, so that's over here. And I'll finally, I'm supposed to have my hand right now that I don't have, because I'm trying to do a preliminary preparation for the big sports broadcast coming up in the town. All right, here's what's going on. This is what happened on our day in history, according to the Tribune, and birthdays and whatnot. And if I remember, somebody famous has a birthday today. Let me see what's going on. Our flashback, I guess there's all supposed to be famous. Our flashback in history on November 14, 1851, Herman Melville's novel Moby Dick, or The Whale, was first published in the United States. It's Moby Dick. The 1922, the British Broadcasting Corporation began its domestic radio service. 1969, Apollo 12 blasted off to the moon. And birthday today, we have born today, Britain's Prince Charles. That's what I was thinking about. He's 63. Rapper Reverend Run MDMC is 47. Rock musician Travis Barker, Baker Barker. It doesn't, because some guy just changed his name. Some basketball just changed his name to something really weird. Anyway, he's having a birthday today. He's 36. So let's say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Have you ever worked with Coastal Computers? Coastal Computers is here for the small business. The small business that needs computers, technology, and networking to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. They're here for the small business that needs to get it right the first time, who can't afford the pain and the horror stories that we've all heard about. Coastal Computers has been making the tough stuff easy for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're worth a call at 543-9047. Call 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. ccslo.com right now. The small business favorite's favorite, ccslo.com. Coastal Computers.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest pictures you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
Sound of Josh Wright in the studio right now. Josh Wright joining me for our Monday morning wrap-up on football and a weekend activity.
Good to see you, Bill.
And it's not just football because we got golf that's happening and other things. And then we have our test changing his name. We got to get to that.
Meta World Peace.
Go ahead. Let's go. Let's do, okay. First thing we promised we would do is Monday night football tonight. Vikes and Green Bay.
Yes, I'm sorry, sports fans. We've kind of let that go the last couple of weeks.
All right, but the Vikings, where is it being played?
It's playing at Green Bay.
Well, it doesn't matter. The Vikings or Green Bay, it's probably going to be nippy. You know what I mean?
It will be a little cold, yes.
If I was a Viking, I'd just stay in.
They're used to it. It's not like us.
I know, but they're not playing football, so just stay inside. And stay warm. And watch the game on TV.
Well, you don't necessarily want to be in the Metrodome either, because you know, remember last year.
Oh, yeah, Metrodome didn't collapse so well. So anyway, but do we have any snow there?
I don't believe so.
I don't think we do. Okay, so okay. All right, that was the first thing. And then our test. We're on our test, famous basketball player. Tell us what he changed his name to.
It's now Meta World Peace. And he's looking for giving peace a chance.
Give peace a chance. Meta World Peace. I'm changing my name next week to Beans and Wieners. I mean, it doesn't make any more sense than Meta World Peace. But okay. You know, these basketball players, first off, they have too much time on their hands this season, obviously, because they don't have one. And it looks like they're not going to have one at this point. And then they get too much money.
It's on the table today, so we'll see what they decide. But basically, David Stern of the NBA has sent out a letter to all the players basically saying, take it or leave it. And if they don't take it, then it's going to be a lot worse the second time around. So I have a feeling that they actually might cave today.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I had the opposite feeling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they said that they've already basically agreed to the 50% of the revenues.
Yeah.
But we'll see, because they said the next offer will be no more than 47%. And they know that David Stern is literally playing hardball. So.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
these millionaires, you know, and they get out there and they get an attitude anyway. So
and when you have Michael Jordan actually going against the players, you know, that's pretty bad.
That can't be good. That tells you something right there. All right, we have lots of stuff to talk about. Where do we want to start with all this today? Let's go to, I have a sounder here, and this is the strangest thing that ever happened in the whole wide world. Let me get to this video thing, video sports. All right, here's the thing. Where is Jerry Sandusky? Here it's revealed today that the judge that set no bail for the man said, just walk around and be a good boy.
This is in regards to Penn State.
And she's also tied to that non-profit that he was getting the boys from, so to speak.
Right. So, well, several big names are part of the board of directors for that nonprofit. It was a very...
Well, unfortunately, the judge is. Now, I suppose a lawyer can say, okay, I need a different judge. You know, at some point, the prosecution can say, excuse me, yeah, this is no good. But it's already a little bit weird. He's not wearing an ankle monitor. He's not wearing anything. He's just out there amongst them. Now, what makes it even weirder is one thing she said to him, the one thing she said that he has to abide by is to stay away from children.
Yes,
that's
an obvious.
This is the playground for Lamont Elementary School. Right over here is Jerry Sandusky's house. And from his back porch, he has a clear view of it.
The administrators at the elementary school say local police reached out to them following Sandusky's arrest. The district superintendent is quoted saying the school, which runs through the second grade, has taken additional administrative action to ensure our children are safe. To be clear, Sandusky's never been accused of harming random children. Rather, he is alleged to have molested young boys after developing close relationships with them through Second Mile, the charity he founded. Sandusky's maintained his innocence. The road to his home is blocked off, and private property signs on his lawn went up this weekend after police say a cinder block was thrown through a window. Nearby neighbors question why he's out on bail.
It baffles my mind.
I think presumption of innocence, we all like to believe in that. And we do in this country, but I think there's a level of protection that a neighborhood and a community is entitled to.
Melissa and Carl Anderson have two little boys. Carl was such a fan of Sandusky's at one time, he had an autographed, limited edition copy of Sandusky's book, Touched.
To me, at least, it alternates between anger and sadness, really. I mean, it really is a loss of... kind of community, wholesale community innocence.
Have you seen more police here in the last week?
Yes.
The Andersons, for one, want to see a stiffer bail. And now a new revelation about the judge who set the bail. The judge's law firm listed her as a volunteer for Second Mile. CNN's legal analyst, Jeffrey Toobin.
The judge certainly should have raised the issue, disclosed her connection to Second Mile, so that the parties in the case could decide whether they wanted to ask her to recuse herself.
Mary Snow, CNN, State College, Pennsylvania.
All right, so that's weird and ugly. All right, so as the ugly thing continues. Okay, so there's editorials written and things said about the fact that, the sports figures become much more important athletic directors and coaches than morality. And so the whole issue has been, of course, should somebody have done something more?
Absolutely.
And the question is, should somebody have done something at all? And so at first I was like, well, I didn't realize the guy that went to Joe Paterno and said, there's a report that he was an eyewitness.
Exactly.
Well, that changes the whole world to me. If he said, I saw this man doing this, then to me, Joe Paterno should have taken his athletic director, brought him in and said, guess what? Call the cops. I'll be right here. We're going to talk about what's going on.
Right.
And he didn't do that. And I think he's totally at fault in that. When I first thought that all he was told that, and then he trusted his athletic director and said, here, find out what the heck's going on here, I thought, okay, I think that's the right chain of command to what to do. But not if someone says, excuse me, I witnessed this.
Yeah,
he
was literally just protecting his legendary status.
Well,
he built a program based upon integrity. They have a statue of him outside of Beaver Stadium there.
That's fine, but here's the thing. The guy that reported, is like absurd that he didn't say, I'm going to call the police. It's like, it just, it is, it's this,
something gets out of control. Something gets us lost in the clouds, and then people don't recognize what they should be doing.
Right.
And it's like
winning at all costs.
It is winning at all costs. And there's a lot of editorials all over the place that are basically saying that. And sadly, it's very true. I can't disagree with anybody that says that.
And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have forgotten that this is about the individuals that were affected by this man. And we need to keep that in perspective and make sure that that's the focus and not everything about, oh, poor Joe or poor Penn State or, you know, what should have done. I mean, they should have obviously turned them into authorities, and they didn't.
The other thing, too, that makes this whole thing more chaotic, as Josh and I are talking about the chaos that has enveloped our world, is that here you had a bunch of students protesting the fact that, of course, he was fired, and... What is their sense of what's right and wrong if 8 children have been raped and by a man, and then they're going, yeah, but, you know, we got a great coach and what the heck.
Right, and they're considered young adults, obviously, but at the same time, they're too immature to understand the ramifications of this case unless they've obviously had a family member affected by the same type of situation. I guarantee you anybody that has known anybody or had a family member affected by this wasn't, you know, cheering on Joe Paterno. If anything, they wanted to have him resign or, you know, fired right away.
Or crucified. But it still makes me wonder. So, in other words, if they saw a child being raped by somebody, they would just shrug and walk away? What would they do?
They would scream, go Penn State.
I guess so.
Based upon what they're acting.
All right, familiar names dot the landscape of speculated successors Joe Paterno from active coaches such as Kirk Ferentz and Pat Fitzgerald, the current broadcaster Urban Meyer. If Penn State wants to expand its search outside the college game and can't get a dream candidate like Tony Dungy, Tony Dungy wouldn't get with a million miles of this old, maybe he would. Maybe he'd say, you know what, I'm the person that can straighten this out. Anyhow. The school could do worse than look at Jim Caldwell. He's an assistant at Penn State before being named head of Wake Forest in 1993. Anyway, but they said something about some other thing. They talked about the Colts.
I think they're probably going to want to hire someone from outside of Penn State just because we don't know the degree of, you know, who knew what and when. They probably want to bring in somebody that has, you know, a new perspective on things to build the program again from the ground up. I imagine a good choice might be Urban Meyer, the ex-Florida coach.
It might be, but also, you know, it's intriguing, the idea of Tony Dungy. I have to tell you the truth. Tony Dungy is
he's an outstanding coach.
I know, and not only that, he's a man beyond reproach. He has taken. Remember, he worked with Michael Vick,
right?
And he's a man that is a man of great faith, and feels like, you know, the worst of the worst can be turned around, which he feels Michael Vick has, you know, was turned around, and was very regretful.
But they were saying the same thing about Joe Paterno, so we have to really, you know, make sure that they really, really look into the background of whoever they are going to hire.
I think they do okay with Tony Dungy. No, wait. We got a couple other things here. Before we get to the okay, let's first go to the Cal Poly. Had 3 overtimes. Josh was at the game. It was quite a game, one to go out on, with 3 overtimes. And Cal Poly lost to Eastern Washington 52-51 as a squeaker. And so it had to be really good. It must have been a great game.
It was a fun game, and I just want to let everybody know that's in the community here that if you haven't been to a Cal Poly football game, make sure that you next season get a chance to go out there because they do play at a high level, high quality of football. And it's a lot of fun. And it wasn't just fun just because it was 3 overtimes. I got to be there with family, got to see some old friends, and it was just an outstanding game. And it was just too bad that they lost it right there at the end with the 2-point conversion.
However, we have another story of the weekend, and we're going to congratulate the Cal Poly men's basketball team as they rolled in their opening season 79-52 over San Jose State, and they get a special little play. Josh and I have bits and pieces. We're all over the place here. We're trying to catch up on everything that happened with sports because it was a big, huge weekend for sports on this Veterans Day, and we got some amazing stuff going on. Let me mention this because I'm a United States Navy grad here, which means I was a dirty old sailor. Here we have this classic being played on the Carl Vinson.
Yes,
aircraft carrier. So they set up a basketball court. And it was for the guys on the ship, I take it.
Right.
Pretty much. And it was a regular league game?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a league game, but it was a regular college game. It does count as far as the wins and losses.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was University of North Carolina Tar Heels versus Michigan State Spartans. And it's something that both coaches had wanted to do for over 9 years. And finally, last spring, they got the thumbs up from the U.S. military that they'd be willing to put this court up on top of the U.S. aircraft carrier. And so just seeing the images of it before the people were actually in the stands and the players on the courts, it was unbelievable. I mean, they were able to fit 7,000 to 8,000 people on
oh,
top
sure.
of that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so it was just a lot of fun, and it was just a great tribute to all the veterans. So thank you, Bill, for serving. And to my wife for serving.
Here's the thing, but here's what they could have done. They could have, and the exciting thing they could have done was they could have sent the catapult down the 50-yard line, right when there was an important play. It confused everybody.
Launch an alley-oop pass with the catapult.
There was a TV ad years ago where they put a football on a catapult, and I forget what the result was, but the idea was they put the football on a catapult and did some.
Right. I remember also they were showing someone passing on the Spruce Goose, the famous Hugh Hefner plane, across the wings. So, yeah.
You know what? Can I say this really? Because the Navy is responsible for more cover-ups than the CIA. And so I would like to say that I'm proud to see the Navy improve their public image a little bit by doing something like this.
It was outstanding.
It'll go to hell in a handbasket in the next 2 weeks somehow, but that's really cool.
Is it big enough to have the president out there watching? But he's a basketball junkie, so.
Okay, we should mention one more thing. We're going back and forth, but forgive me, because that's because my brain goes back and forth. So Tom Bradley lost in his first game out as coach, but you'd have to think that the Lions weren't exactly focused on this game no matter what.
No, so. How could they focus during the whole week? It was just.
I'm not focused now. So why should we?
And Nebraska, they're a terrific college team. So,
okay, we have. I'm going to miss something. It doesn't matter. We have. We have to do a shout out to somebody else here, who's a runner.
Yes, Jordan Hussey, our local all-star runner from Mission Prep. She won the NCAA West Regional for the cross country this past weekend, and she went back-to-back, so she won it last year as well, and it's the first time in over 20 years that anyone's been able to do that. So she is still continuing to run at a high level, and we look for her to be a big part of the Olympics this next year.
Yeah, this is cool. And, people, a lot of people criticize the Tribune and people that say, well, what do you care if you did Oregon State? Hey, leave it alone. We still talk about Lauren Roberts. Only that was had lunch here one time. So it's no big deal. But here's the other thing, too. Sanchez, this girl's name Sanchez. There's another girl that's running in South County that's really a whiz.
Yeah, I think she's from Templeton, actually.
Templeton. And is Sanchez, is that her?
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
And she's a flyer.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Holy cow.
We have a lot of talented runners in this area.
Yeah, we sure do. That's really cool. All right, and as a matter of fact, I'm going way back on this. We had dinner with friends whose son has become the, they're going to hate me if they're listening because I can't remember the name of the school. Not Cal Baptist, Cal...
Cal Lutheran?
I don't know. Down south. Somewhere down south. Anyway, he was like the interim track coach. And the men's and women's team both won the championship down there,
Oh,
and
terrific.
So he was all, that's cool. And he's from Santa Maria. So there, right there.
There you go.
We got people
we
out there doing
We have high-quality athletes in our area.
We do, by gosh. Not us included, but others. All right. Let's see what else we got here.
What?
Here's one. Well, I'll do this next. Anything else with college? Mention some of the college stuff that we should know.
Yeah, just going over the top 10 for the college NCAA 1A BCS standings. The big upset of the weekend was Oregon. I don't know if it's so much of an upset, but I was actually surprised to see how much Oregon dominated Stanford because it was being played at Stanford, and the likely Heisman Trophy winner is Andrew Luck, the quarterback for Stanford. But Stanford was blown out by Oregon, so go Quack Attack.
I'll tell you, them Duckers can do it,
There's no question.
You put little feathers on your shoulder pads, and everything changes for you.
Yeah, when you have Phil Knight, sponsoring your team, anything can happen.
Absolutely amazing. Oregon's just been a hoot this last couple of years. It's just fun to be around.
Yeah, high-powered offense.
All right, now, let's do this. This was the thing that was I found in the Tribune here, and this was Wednesday. And they said, it's time for midseason awards. This is for the NFL.
Okay.
All right, so here's what they said. Offensive rookie Cam Newton from Carolina. Defensive rookie Aldon Smith from San Francisco. Offensive player Calvin Johnson from Detroit. Defensive player Lamar Woodley from the Steelers. Comeback player Steve Smith from Carolina. Jim Harbaugh, who's coaching the San Francisco 49ers. And the 49ers just sat there in the mire for a long time, so that's all good. That would come back. MVP Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay, and he's having a really good year and looking very good. And that's what they said for halftime.
Yeah, the biggest surprise, I think, out of that list of players and coaches is actually Cam Newton. Even though he won the national title last year at Auburn, a lot of scouts were thinking that it was going to take him a very, very long time, maybe a couple of years, to actually develop into a solid NFL quarterback. But he, went in there. He studied the playbook. I guess a lot of the plays that Carolina runs is similar to Auburn, so he was able to pick up on it rather quickly, and he's just had a phenomenal season. I mean, he's playing at a level that, several quarterbacks that have been in the league for years wish they could play at. So, kudos to him. So, and, of course, Jim Harbaugh leading the turnaround in San Francisco has been just fantastic to see and watch.
It has.
Yeah.
Especially
a lot
for you.
Of fun.
Especially for you.
Yeah, especially for me.
Oh, but many others, too. It's been a lot of fun, too. Now, let me see what I got up here. We got I got the NFL scoreboard for Week 10. So we had Raiders over Chargers 24-17. You want me to just read these this way?
Yeah, and actually just going over that Raiders game really briefly, it looks like Carson Palmer is starting to get the offense down. He's starting to have better routes and timing with his receivers. And the running attack for the Raiders has been amazing this season. I mean, when you have a backup rushing for over 150 yards in a game, you know that you have some pretty good running backs on your team.
Broncos and Chiefs, 17-10. This was just a blower outer thing I watched.
Well, let's talk quickly just about the Broncos. What's amazing about the Broncos is that they've had Tim Tebow as the starter the last four games.
Yes, yes.
The guy cannot pass. He has terrible quarterback mechanics. However, he won two national titles in Florida, won the Heisman Trophy. He's a winner. But people don't understand, how does he win? Wherever he goes, he wins.
But here's the weird thing. It's the other thing too. It's like you were talking about Cam Newton. They don't expect a lot of guys to come right out of the gate. You know, they expect most of the quarterbacks come out of the gate and be pretty cloddy.
Right.
And that this guy is continued to be cloddy right out of the gate and yet wins ball games.
Yeah, and even John Elway, the director of operations for Denver, is shaking his head because they just don't understand how this guy, he was 2-for-8 this last game, less than 10 passes in a game, and he wins it for him with a 56-yarder. I mean, it's just unbelievable what this guy can do. He just pulls rabbits out of his hat, and they keep on thinking, well, the magic trick's got to end soon, but it hasn't. He's 3-1 as a starter.
Now, what happens when this guy gets it figured out?
Yeah, look out.
Holy cow. Unbelievable. All right, I watched this game last night. It's the only football I watched last night because I was away this whole weekend with the kids, and we weren't watching football. But the Cowboys just completely blew out the Bills 44-7, and it was quite a folder roll, that whole thing. The Bills are 0-7, and they're 5-4, and the Cowboys are now 5-4.
Yeah, the Dallas is on an upswing. It looks like they're finally getting everything going, and Romo is rolling again, the quarterback. As far as the Bills, they started off hot. Everyone was really surprised at how well they were doing, but then it looked like they were going to actually maybe be a contender in the East, but from how they played this last game, I'm guessing that they're going to start their downward spiral, and they won't be a playoff contender.
You heard her here. All right, Rams and the Browns. Final score is 13-12. Rams are 2-7. The Browns are 3-6. Neither team is doing much of anything this year, and probably will not.
And Rams were actually favored to win the NFC West behind Sam Bradford. He's a great quarterback, but he's been injured off and on this season. They finally have him back, but they're not going to do anything either.
Cardinals, Eagles, both 3-6. Cardinals defeated the Eagles 21-17.
Yeah, it's still a rough season for Philadelphia.
And so I don't get it sometimes, because you watch Michael Vick and you say, if you can take all that talent, if somehow everything could come together for that team, they'd be amazing.
At this point, you just have to question, maybe it's his leadership.
Maybe. I mean, but it's because it's not coming together.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because there is a lot of talent there. Steelers and Bengals, 24-17. Steelers are now over the Bengals. Steelers are now 7-3. Bengals 6-3.
Yeah, Steelers are back to leading their division, so look for them to roll on into the playoffs.
Now the Tennessee Titans 5-4, which is for one of these expansion teams we talked about, they're coming along a little bit.
They are.
The Panthers 2-7. They're not.
They're not. However, they do have all the talent in the world, so now they just have to surround Cam Newton with a little bit more and I would expect for them to be a solid 500 team next year, maybe make the playoffs.
That game was 30-3, by the way, by Titans over Panthers. Okay, Redskins and Dolphins, always a fun matchup. And Redskins are 3-6, Dolphins are 2-7. Again, they're not getting off to a great year, and the score was 20 Dolphins, Redskins 9.
Yeah, so again, you know, two terrible teams this season, but you know, we'll see what happens for the second half of the season as far as who will have a better record at the end.
Texans over the Bucks, 37-9.
Texans are a solid team. Aaron Foster is an amazing running back. They have a great quarterback. I think they're going to do really well the second half, and we'll see what they do in the playoffs.
And I want to hear your prediction for the Saints. Saints over the Falcons, 26-23.
Yeah, that was actually a fun game to watch. It went into overtime, and Mike Smith, the head coach for the Falcons, went for it on 4th and inches. And all he had to do was, you know, have them take over, and they would have had to go the whole field to win it, the Saints, that is. And he didn't. He went for it. And so then the Saints, they had literally a chip shot for a field goal after the defense stopped him. So he just hung his head, and he says, yes, it's my fault. You know, my team did great, and I take the blame for the loss. So,
but it's one of those calls in the heat of battle, one might say, to just say, okay, what am I going to do?
And absolutely, and you think 4th and inches, and you've had a great game, why not go for it? Most people can get it on 4th and inches, but the defense for, you know, the Saints stepped up. And
they usually find some big fat guy to get behind the quarterback,
right,
and push him through, you know,
right,
for that thing. But anyway. Okay.
Yeah, they should have given it to an offensive tackle.
Really, there you go. There you go. We can take care of this. Jaguars 17, Colts 3.
Yeah, poor Colts. You know, they're still 0 for nothing. You know, they haven't won anything. A big donut for them. But the upside for them is that Peyton Manning hasn't been getting hit. You know, he's obviously out with his neck injury. But also, it looks like Andrew Luck will be their pick come draft time. And so they're going to have another excellent 10 to 15 years of a great quarterback, because he's one of those guys that he can just step right in. He's not going to need a lot of coaching or anything to get ready for the NFL.
What do you think's going to happen with Manning?
I think Manning actually might get traded.
You do?
Quite honestly, mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of people say, no way, he's the face of the NFL, he's MVP, he's been everything to the Colts, but guess what? So was Joe Montana for the 49ers, and they traded him to Kansas City.
Exactly. Look at Brett Favre.
Exactly.
Brett Favre, same.
Yep.
Okay, Ravens and the Seahawks, Seahawks over the Ravens, 22-17. 1-6-3, the Ravens, and the Seahawks are 3-6.
That was the biggest surprise for me yesterday, because the Ravens, they've been playing at such a high level of play. And after the game last week when they dominated, I was expecting to see them possibly, you know, go ahead of the Steelers as a possible AFC favorite. So to see them lose to Seattle, who's not going anywhere this season, that was the biggest surprise to me. So we'll see what they do. We'll see how they bounce back. And, you know, they've got a big game come Thanksgiving Day against Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers. The coach for the Ravens is actually a Harbaugh. They're brothers, so that's going to be a fun one to watch on our family Thanksgiving Day. They're calling it the Harbaugh Bowl, so we'll see what happens.
All right. Giants and 49ers. Once again, the 49ers were victorious over the Giants. The 49ers are 8-1, and the Giants 6-3. Harbaugh's really brought them back.
It is incredible. I mean, everyone thought that he was going to do well, but not this well, especially considering the lockout. I mean, they didn't even have really an off season to prepare with all the new plays and everything, and it's just, it's been incredible. It's actually a credit, like he mentioned in the article today, it's a credit to all the players that were there. That one, they wanted to stay there. That two, they're all so hungry and disciplined to do whatever it takes to win and turn it around. So it's just been a lot of fun to watch.
Somebody's on the verge of they could possibly accomplish this season. I don't remember who. I just heard this amongst all the stuff you hear. Somebody could possibly this season pass Jim Rice in receptions or something in a single season or something like that.
Oh, Jerry Rice?
I'm sorry, Jerry Rice.
Is it possibly Calvin Johnson from Detroit?
Possibly.
Yeah, they call him Megatron.
Yeah. So how far does he have to go to do it?
I'm not actually quite sure on that, Bill,
okay,
but I'll look into it.
I think it could happen this season, though.
Yeah.
And that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That would be amazing.
It's amazing I can't remember Jerry Rice.
Well, what's amazing about this season is not having an off season like I just mentioned, is just the amount of yards that these quarterbacks are passing for. I mean, it almost looks like arena ball out there sometimes. It's just amazing. It's been a lot of fun.
You're with Josh Wright. Now, don't forget, you can always call in, too, at 786-2578, 786-2578, or 1-866-937-1340. here with Josh Wright, Beans and Wieners, and we're winding down the last few games. Lions and Bears, 13, and the Bears 37.
Yeah, the Bears have really swung it around this last couple of games. I mean, mm-hmm. Poor Jay Cutler, the quarterback for the Bears, he was getting hit left and right. He was getting nailed like 39 times a game. People were having to bring out a shovel just to pick him up off the grass. But I think he got in the ear of Mike Martz, their coach, who's also famous for, you know, his offensive schemes with the St. Louis Rams when they were winning their Super Bowls. But it looks like they finally got the offensive line not to be so porous and actually stick together and try to protect their quarterback. And ever since then, because they have an awesome defense. And people forget that, you know, the Bears actually were in the championship game last year versus Green Bay and had home field advantage. So look for them to go far, too, this year and make the playoffs.
All right. And we're down to the last one for this for yesterday. And that is the Patriots and the Jets. Patriots 37, Jets 16. Patriots are 6-3. The Jets are 5-4. What do you got?
Yeah, as far as the Patriots, I mean, people were saying, oh, they're not as good this year, but never count the Patriots out. Never count Bill Belichick out. Never count Tom Brady out. Based on yesterday's game and the blowout versus the Jets, look for them to continue their streak. And I think the Jets, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. So we'll see what happens.
Mr. Sanchez is not doing as well. All right, and then once again tonight, Vikings at the Packers. Game is what, at 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Channel 35.
That's a lot of fun. They're a big rivalry, so.
All right, so sure, that's going to be really a doozy of a game. Of course, the Packers seem to have a lot more going for them.
Yeah, you got Aaron Rodgers, you know, playing quarterback, and then you got Adrian Peterson as the running back for Minnesota, who he's the top running back, I think, you know, in the league right now. So it should be fun.
Pretty cool, pretty cool. We did sports once again, and we thank Josh Wright for being here. Don't forget Farmers Insurance, Josh Wright, and for industrial, pre-industrial, post-industrial, and apocalyptic, what is it again? What do you sell?
Business insurance.
What do you sell? Business insurance. There we go. Business insurance right there. Josh Wright at Farmers Insurance. And you'll like Josh. He does a great job and a nice man. And you should go to Farmers anyway. I've been telling you that for
absolutely.
Years. Absolutely. Okay, so there's no question about that. All right, so that's our wrap-up in sports this week. Let me see something. What's next What's next Monday?
Next as far Monday. As the date?
Yeah, I will be in touch with you. I may or may not be here.
Okay. What if you want, I can take over your show for you for one day. Bill.
What weekend is Thanksgiving?
What weekend?
Yeah.
Well, it's on the 24th or 25th, I think. I don't know. I'm not looking at the calendar.
It's not this weekend.
All I know is that it's next Thursday.
Oh, it's next weekend. Okay. Next weekend. And then that next Monday, I'm not sure. It's up in the air what's going to happen in my life. Okay, but we'll be together next Monday for sure. We look forward to it. And Josh, we thank you for doing it for us. And thank you for your...
Always a pleasure, Bill. Good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great week.
Shows. It's Ron White's Moral Compass Tour.
I bought my wife breast implants for her birthday, and I've never been a huge fan of plastic surgery, but I have to admit I've had a lot of fun playing with these things. I haven't given them to her yet.
November 17th, 7 and 9:30 p.m. at Chumash Casino Resort.
And at our bank, there's one patch of manicured grass that has two little signs that both say, no dogs. So I take my dogs over there. And this guy comes waddling out of the bank with a big scowl on his face, and he goes, "The sign says no dogs." I said, "The sign's wrong."
Reserved seat tickets are on sale now at Club Chumash, ChumashCasino.com, or call 1-800-585-3737. November 17th, Chumash Casino Resort. Be a VIP and meet Ron White. Get info at TaterSalad.com.
Yeah, they call me Tater Salad.
For mature audiences.
Hi, this is Jackie, owner of Red Dirt Coffee House in Arroyo Grande. Paul and I love using Radio Central Coast because I'm not afraid to admit we're true grommets to the advertising world. Radio Central Coast helped define our Aloha spirit on the air. They met us at our convenience, and we're so affordable, it was so easy. Get gives me more time to spend and greet all of my new radio listening customers, Aloha style.
If you would like to increase more foot traffic into your business like Red Dirt Coffee House, give Radio Central Coast a call today, 786-2570. That's 786-2570. And get your business name, services, and location out over the airwaves. New clients, more money, more time to focus on your business. Give Radio Central Coast a call today at 786-2570.
Red Dirt Coffee House in Arroyo Grande truly thanks Radio Central Coast for helping us reach our goals and truly offering us more grinds for our bucks.
And you're Bill Beck at Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Our phone numbers are 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340. Karen Vitti is going to be in for a special report at 105 today. You can go on the website and find out where we're going, because I'll tell you where we are going. ATCD is going to be the discussion for today. And interestingly enough, in today's paper, the editorial was, or not, not today's, I'm sorry, apologies, but Sunday's paper, Larry Allen, who's with the APCD, is the head of it. He had things to say about dust emission rules passage as an issue of public health. Now, it is an issue of public health. Now, and I've come up with a new idea. I finally sat there and thought about it and said, wait a minute, isn't there a better way to do this? Isn't there a way that would seem pretty much foolproof, and then we'd really know something? And I think I have it. I'll wait till Karen's on. I'll tell you what I think of it. That's not like a tease. The tease is Karen Vitti. But the other thing is, Benica's saying, I think I have this idea. Okay, I'll tell you what else. There's so much in the news. Can I mention this, please? This is for Bill. This is for Bill and somebody else. There's all these papers. I've got stars, stripes. I'll find it. I think it was in somebody's paper. I think it was. Well, one thing that was quite remarkable, this story that Bill Morham was sharing, and it had, and this I understand not Bill Morham. Bill Morham's another story. It's the end of the, it's after Veterans Day, but a lot of stories come out over the weekend, and they so apply to Veterans Day, and so here was John Lindsay. Who talked to? He was talking to the. I'm going to get it. I'm sorry. Navy Chaplain Bill Houston, who is a big part of the Lost at Sea Memorial Day, and celebration. And it's very interesting. Bill Morham was in this terrible. It was during the war. It was this terrible typhoon that struck the fleet. The Third Fleet and three U.S. destroyers, USS Hull, USS Monaghan, and USS Spence, capsized and sank during the storm, killing 775 people. All told, 800 sailors and 150 naval aircraft were lost. It was the largest single naval disaster of the war. And what was interesting is, and John Lindsay, of course, though, our weather guy, is he's saying, Admiral Bull Halsey was the guy who was in charge of the fleet, and they just didn't have any real time or close to real time information to know that the direction they were heading was the worst possible direction they could head. They knew there was a storm out there, but unfortunately, the information was so slow in coming to him, he was in the middle of it before he could do anything about it. But it's just absolutely amazing. Having stood on the bridge of a U.S. Navy ship in the middle of a hurricane, I can tell you this. It's quite frightening, but you're lucky if you're up way up high, and you have a chance to jump. I'm serious, because there's a little pendulum in the wheelhouse that swings back and forth, and it shows there's a line on either side that says if you go past this line, this ship is going to roll over. So that's the end of it. And when you come close to hitting that, when you come really like close to hitting that, I have to tell you what, your insides become liquid. It's like okay, all right, there's that one. But there was another story. Oh, here's the story I want to share with you right here. Same paper, Sunday's paper. All right. And I'll tell you why this matters to me, to share the story. And I'm going to say, I beg your indulgence when I tell you about this. And I look to see something very, very, very important for me in the story. This is a story of Spec 5 John Young, who was in the service during the Vietnam War in 1967-68. He was at Mannheim, Germany for the first part of his tour as an Army spec. And then he was sent to Vietnam. And he arrived in Vietnam on January 4th, 1968, which is just a couple weeks before I arrived in Vietnam. All right, so, and he was assigned to the same place I was assigned to, the Mobile Riverine Force. And so he ultimately, in a firefight on April 4th, 1968, when his unit was ambushed after a beach landing along the Bai Lai River, his platoon became pinned down on a muddy riverbank by heavy automatic fire known as the Crossroads, which I know exactly where that is, and he was killed. The one of the things they said here, and see, here was this is interesting. Said SP5 Young arrived in Vietnam on January 4th. He was assigned to the U.S. Army's Mobile Marine Force, which I was a boat captain of, in Delta Company, 3rd Battalion, 4th Infantry. We never knew what the battalions and the infantry and all that stuff meant. We knew the 9th Infantry Division, but if you'd asked me what the 3rd and the 4th were, I would never been able to tell you. But as he was in the 3rd of the 4th, and then we carried 3 of the 60th and 4th of the 47th are the men we carried. And so the interesting thing I saw here is when he was killed. So the first question that comes to your mind is, were you involved in that one? Because you're involved in so many. But here he's standing. I'm going to guess he's standing up on one of the ships we were tied up to. And as I look through to the back of this picture, there's a boat with the numbers M921 on them, which meant it was a monitor in River Division 92, which I was not in. I was in River Division 111. It was four divisions, 91, 92, 111, and 112. Why they're numbered the way they are, nobody understands the whole way. Well, they've just been 1, 2, 3, 4, but they always have to do it different in other services. Anyway, so I was not in River Division 92. River Division 92, as all the divisions, I mean, nobody had a good time there. They encountered numerous other firefights that were just horrific, as we all did, I guess. But I specifically remember some of the ones they were in. So we give a special salute to John Young, if I may. Thank you.
What else we got?
There's so much stuff on these. I can't. Let me go to Cal Coast News right now and see if she was gonna. I don't know where she's put this. She's gonna say I'm gonna put up the fact that we're gonna get together and have a chat, but I don't see it, and I don't know where she'd put it. And the other thing is, I don't know if she had time to do it. So we have all of those things come together, and you got bibbly bobbly boo. Let me mention again, Karen Vealey will be in at 1:05. She has a breaking story today. It's very very important and very affects a lot of people. That's in there, and I thought we would we'd bring her in and just say hi right away. All right, and as I said, I'll tell you, I mean, it has to do with the APCD, and their chief has a piece in the news also. Editorial opinion about how we should do things on the Mesa, and then Bill Beck has a better way than any way I've heard so far, so. I'll go with my way when we get to it. All right, let me see else what I can find here. All right, let's do this. This was Bill Moran's column. Vandals desecrated history, and here the and just imagine. I mean, a couple of the markers that were vandalized around Thanksgiving by whatever moron did it, or morons. J.H. Hollister played a history in San Luis Obispo, as you're probably well aware. Judge Walter Murray, who founded the Tribune, his grave marker was damaged. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's not mischief. It's not really mischief. And it's not even vandalism. It's just some kind of strange thing that you would do to people, and to desecrate a grave is like, I don't have an answer. My guts just go say what? I've never understood. It's happened before. I've never understood it. I don't get it. I just really don't get it. All right. Supervisors didn't respond to advisory group request for funding that's gotten in the past. Council wants to share his donation. 8 months after County Supervisor Paul Teixeira floated the idea to dissolve the two South County advisory groups in his district, some members of one of the organizations are wondering if he's trying to do it again, albeit in a much quieter fashion. Though he's under no obligation to do so, Teixeira has not provided funding to the South County Advisory Council, nor has he responded in writing to requests for money from the volunteer organization representing the Pomo area. The SCAC is struggling without the funds, which go toward administrative expenses such as office supplies and all that kind of stuff. But Teixeira said Friday that he had told the council's treasurer early this year that he would not give the group or any advocacy councils in his district money, and cited budget concerns as the reason. Now, here's another thing, too, I was going to tell you about. I'd have to find it. I'm surrounded. And I don't know what I'm doing, but I can tell you off the top of my head. Tomorrow, there'll be a vote. And I tell you where this, because I don't know if you, I think almost anybody knows people that live in the Arbors area. And it's a, you know, it's a big area out there, the Arbors area, off of Tank Farm Road. And so what's happening is you have that chunk of property between Tank Farm and Orchid that goes along the base of Rigetti Hill. They want to put, when I say they, the city, wants to annex it and put 1,000 homes there. Shopping centers, schools, parks, homes, the whole thing. 1,000 homes. Don't ask them where they're going to get the water for the 1,000 homes because they don't know. But anyway, and then you try to think of, there will be, that will be, it would seem to me, I'm just looking at it, that would certainly have to be the most congested area of San Luis Obispo ever as far as density of housing. By far, it would be the most dense area of San Luis Obispo with one road going in and one road going out. Okay. But anyway. What's happened is there's the only people that are allowed to vote tomorrow, either for or against annexation, and therefore for or against the project, are the people that are somehow associated with, I think it's, don't hold me to this because I don't have the thing in front of me, I think it's 21 properties. There's 21 properties involved along that whole Orchid Road. But now somehow there's 21 properties, but so all the people get to vote. So let's say there's two people in every house. Property, that would be 44 people. Anyway, but a bunch of people have signed on and said their domicile, so you can have dual housing anywhere, but their domicile has to be basically their main place they live. And so people have filed with the petition with Julie Rodewald to say, that's my domicile, even though I haven't seen it in years. Anyway, so Julie Rodewald's office has to decide through other records whether or not that's considered the main place of living. As of now, 55 people have said that's the place that they live. Now, what I find surprising is, and I have to tell this, I don't quite understand something. So you have just the property owners. So it's a point of annexation. There's no, I don't know if down the road, if let's say the city annexes the property, if down the road people get to voice their opinion about the development, which I assume they must get a chance of doing that. Not that the city would change its mind ever, but all the people in the Arbors area are involved in, the impact this would have. And then I'll tell you the people that are more directly involved in it, but yet they don't have anything to say about this vote, and I find it kind of weird, but okay, is the people that live across the street. There are houses across the street, not a lot of them, but there are people that live across the street. And you'd think to yourself, well, I mean, they're totally directly involved in this. Yeah. That's what's happening tomorrow. There's going to be a vote of 55 people to decide if we're going to put 1,000 homes on that end of town. That'll be good. Yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah, there we go. All right. Bank fees you haven't heard about yet. Yeah, they're talking about those bank fees that are hidden and they don't tell you. Some of them are hidden and they don't tell you. I can tell you that where I bank, if they have this new deal on the machine, what do you call it, the instant teller machine, which I pretty much use 99.99% of the time, and which makes them happy because they don't have extra tellers. But it's unfortunate because then when you go in and you need tellership, there's no telling how long you wait. But what they do is, so now they have this new option on the screen that says, would you like your receipt printed with a check printed out? And at first, Nancy and I thought, well, that's spiffy. Sure, why not? Anyway, you got a double record and whatnot of what you've done. Then you find out they charge you for each check they do that to. They don't tell you anywhere on the screen prior to that they're going to charge you if you do that. They don't say, do you want this? There is a fee. Do you want this? There's a fee of X amount. They just says, do you want this? Well, who wouldn't want it? And then you do it, and then you find out you got charged for it. So, and that's just probably one of many things that make no sense, but I thought I'd tell you. All right, here's the inside scoop is Chelsea Clinton's been hired by NBC News. She's going to go and work for them as a correspondent, and they should probably be fine with it. And then early Oscar honors, Oprah Winfrey snagged an Oscar on Saturday night in the third annual Governor's Awards Schmooze Fest for the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Winfrey was recognized with the Jean Hirschalt Humanitarian Award for her charitable work. Dick Smith, the makeup artist behind The Exorcist, and James Earl Jones, who famously voiced Darth Vader, also received honorary Oscars for their career contributions to the movies. The main Oscar show, of course, is on February 26th. So Oprah Winfrey won one for doing great stuff. Dick Smith did it for having a woman puke green, a girl have her head spin on a puke, and James Earl Jones for being the voice of Darth Vader, which, because he didn't want to be the Darth Vader, he thought that was stupid. He said, I'll just do the voice, pay me for that.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The NBA Players Union is disbanding and turning itself into a trade association so it can take its labor dispute with the team owners to work. The contract talks appear dead as dirt. The NBA Commissioner David Stern tells ESPN the season is probably dead.
We're about to go into the nuclear winter of the NBA.
The union's executive director, Billy Hunter.
We're prepared to file this antitrust action against the NBA because we think that that's probably the best situation where, you know, the players can achieve or get, you know, their due process.
Benjamin Golliver at CBSSports.com.
So the idea here is make the argument that the NBA is not negotiating fairly with them to try to establish some leverage with a threat, long-term legal action, to try to get the NBA back to the table and maybe make a more beneficial offer that's to the players.
The Supreme Court has decided to schedule arguments on the health care overhaul for this coming March.
It's not just that the High Court will hear appeals over the law. When they'll do it is also important. During an election year when President Obama's signature domestic policy achievement will be hotly debated, the justices likely will rule in late June, about 4 months before ballots are cast. This will likely be their most politically significant decision since the historic Bush v. Gore ruling on the contested 2000 presidential election, essentially putting George W. Bush into the White House.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Wall Street-style protesters occupying a park in Denver have been cleared out, and those who wouldn't go peacefully were arrested. Similar stories in St. Louis and Portland, Oregon, and in Oakland, California. Police were back this morning because occupiers had moved back in after being removed.
We had to bring the camp to an end before more people were hurt.
That's Oakland's Mayor Gene Kwan.
It was no longer about the abuses of the financial system or foreclosures or the unemployed. The encampment became a place where we had repeated violence and this week a murder.
Once you've had a heart attack, your heart, the muscle itself, will never be the same unless stem cells might help rebuild it. And experiments injecting stem cells back into the heart tissue of patients after bypass surgery shows great promise.
What we saw was a striking improvement in the function of the heart as early as 4 months after stem cells and even more at 1 year.
Dr. Robert Bolley is chief of cardiology at the University of Louisville. He led the research. In short, the heart muscle got stronger. China is busy building a space program. Two unmanned Chinese spacecraft successfully docked today, second time they've done that. They are part of a future Chinese space lab, a competitor to the International Space Station, and a stepping stone for deep space exploration. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 74 points today. The Nasdaq was down about 21. Oil prices today, right at $98 a barrel. This is CBS News.
For over 150 years, Tag Heuer Swiss Luxury Watches has brilliantly fused technology with design. And Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, has an incredible selection to choose from.
That's Jared!
Time and again, Tag Heuer has revolutionized watchmaking with luxury sport timepieces, including the sleek avant-garde Link collection and the vintage glamour of the Carrera heritage. Now at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. No, no, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she's gonna love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Getting tougher on terror suspects, old style, was one of the consistent points Republicans running for the presidential nomination made in their debate. Not everyone in the GOP agrees.
Senator John McCain, the Republicans' last presidential candidate, says he's very disappointed with those running this time, who say they'd bring back waterboarding of terror suspects. Most of the candidates at a weekend debate, including Herman Cain, took that position.
I don't see it as torture. I see it as an enhanced interrogation technique.
McCain, who was himself a prisoner of war in Vietnam, says it is torture. The U.S. should never have done it and certainly should not start doing it again. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A barber in Canton, Ohio, says his customers need to keep looking sharp, even if times are hard. So Gregory Burnett says rather than let their haircuts wait for months instead of weeks, as some have been doing, he's allowing his customers to pay what they can. He usually gets $12. He's taken as little as $5 lately. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. You went to Jared.
That's Jared.
Whether you're looking for charms, rings, or bracelets, you'll find the Pandora collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, to be truly remarkable. With literally hundreds of designs, only the store with five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores could bring you a Pandora collection like this. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora Jewelry at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
You have teams in Tucson, Tennessee, and Taipei, and you need to work together. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy-to-use, extraordinarily powerful way to meet online. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, then share screens and webcams in real time, and review and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
The opinions expressed on Talk Is Cheaper, bills, the callers, and the occasional stray that wanders in the studio. They're not necessarily those of the owners, management, sponsors, staff, delivery people, janitorial service. Consider this a personal invitation to pick up the phone and exercise your constitutional right to express your opinion.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Karen Scott Audiology has moved to a new location. She is now located at 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, and now easy to find and plenty of parking. Stop in and see her at her beautiful new facilities. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast for over 30 years. Board certified, she and her staff understands the need to have your hearing checked. From your child to your teen, your mother to your grandparents, hearing loss can occur at any age. And it's nice to know that Karen Scott has the knowledge and experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs, with a wide selection to choose from. They also offer industrial screenings. Give Karen Scott a call today for your free consultation, 541-1790, or stop by 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320, next to the DMV in San Luis Obispo, helping you hear the things you love.
3 Tesla, 204 coils, 48 simultaneous channels, 5 times faster, 8 times the resolution, and wide open enough to hold a 550-pound person. What does this describe? The new ultra-high-field MRI just installed at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the gold standard in diagnostic imaging, previously only available at research hospitals. So don't settle for an outdated closed-in scanner with half the strength when you can choose the new ultra-high-field MRI at San Luis Diagnostic Center. If you live in North or South County, drive a little and get a whole lot more. Lower cost, more comfort, shorter exam time, and image quality never before seen in San Luis Obispo County. For your next MRI, don't settle for an exam on a 10-year-old machine. Insist on San Luis Diagnostic Center's brand new Siemens Skyra. Call 542-9700. The choice is yours.
You know love makes the world go round. Baby, world go round. And love, baby, makes the seesaws go up and down. And it makes trees grow tall. And the most important thing of all, it makes the boy and girl, say they feel so fine now. Without love, flowers wouldn't grow in spring. And without spring, care, the birdies just couldn't sing. Yeah, yeah, everybody needs love. And to watch the twinkling stars above, it makes the boy and girl, yeah, say they feel so fine now. Yeah. Oh, oh, everybody needs love. Just to watch the twinkling stars above, it makes the boy and girl, oh, say they feel so fine now. Oh, love makes you cry now. That goes for Billy, Sherry, Bobby, and Marsha, and baby, you and I. Oh, I can prove to you that these facts of love are so true. It makes the boy and girl, yeah, say they feel so fine now.
Feel so fine.
Love, love, sweet love. Love is so good, child. Ooh, it's so fine.
She actually rode in on a white horse. I don't tell you, the hat and everything. Karen Vealey's with me from CalCoastNews.com, and this is a special news update that we have today. And Karen, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Bill.
Nice to have you here. I know you're busy running around, running around. Because a lot of people are concerned about this. Before we get to our story today, tell us your grandson is doing better.
Yes, he came home from the hospital yesterday. I'll tell you, I would not recognize him if I passed him in a grocery store the way he looks right now.
He's all bloated and swollen and funny things.
He's bloated and his eyebrows go up on the sides and his ears stick way out from the bloating. But he is looking, he is doing better and he is, every day he feels a little bit better.
Dylan had, just informed me, Dylan had a special skull type surgery to relieve pressure in his noodle. It's a humongous, huge operation. And the fact that he's not smiling a lot, but he will.
No, he's not smiling. He's not. His name is Caleb, and he's not smiling a lot. One interesting thing is they did a cut from like below each ear all the way over the head, and then below each ear, so they could peel the scalp back on both sides all the way. But they decided to leave the hair in the just a line like a razor line where they took it off the cut. So that he could have hair when he wears a hat around, because he's in school. So I thought that was very interesting, odd thing to do, but it's
interesting.
But they actually then they took off his skull and they made it into like a puzzle. And there's 8 or 12 pieces, and they hooked it all back together and put it back on in a different shape, so the brain would have more room.
Now, interesting enough, I was just in a funny one of these junky gift store things, you know, touristy traps here just yesterday, and they sell the baseball caps with hair that sticks out the top. So we need to get him one of those. We'll find out where we get one locally.
That would be fabulous. He has about 8 hats. He's kids aren't allowed to wear hats to school, but C.L. Smith has said he can wear a hat to class. So we've got a whole array of different looking hats for him
Good for him. That's really cool. All right, we're going to get to a big story, CalCoastNews.com. Karen broke this story earlier today. This is a multi-series story, by the way, so this is one part of a story that will be, also have another part tomorrow and continue to go.
Yeah.
This part of it that we start with today is the we sort of, can I say this to you honestly? They're sort of out of order, so to speak. You know, I mean, this is a story unto itself, but that's all. We'll leave it under itself, and then we'll talk about the other stuff that's going on. All right, so this is what's going on. They say, here's how it starts out. They set healthy salaries for themselves and went looking for the money to meet the payroll. It's not the city of Bell, but it's weird. So here's the story about the Air Pollution Control District here in San Luis Obispo County, and district expenditures have gone from $2,438,000 in 2001-2 to $4,156,000. Of the district's 21 full-time employees in salaries, benefits, and fringes, 19 run over $100,000 a year. And the top dude, Larry Allen, makes $240,000 a year. So there's an article, also an editorial by Larry Allen in today's paper, in case you want to venture to there. But
is it today's?
It was Sunday.
I'm sorry.
And that's Sunday Tribune.
Sunday Tribune. So if you want to wander to that. But first, let's talk about the salaries. The devil's in the details with the APCD, in my opinion, and that is the way they raise money for themselves. The state doesn't fund them; they raise their own money.
And they do get some state and federal money. They get some taxes. They get some DMV fees. They primarily make money on fees and permits. They can also do fines for if you're actually polluting. But fines last year were 0.6%, so it's a minuscule amount of the money they bring in. Primarily what they do is they look at new ways to raise fees. And then when they find something, that, for example, they recently decided that they wanted to make sure that gas stations have contractors that are licensed. So they got their board to vote in that contractors have to be, you know, they have to approve contractor license. So then they send a letter to different gas station owners. So now, and I was talking to Cacho, Assemblyman Cacho Asagian, and he said, now if I have a guy paint my gas station, I have to pay the APCD to call the contractors board and make sure that he's licensed. So it's another, they have a lot of different ways of getting fees together. These fees then support the bulk of monies brought in pay salaries. It's a little over 75%, but then they also have a lot of travel time. If you actually look at expenditures for employees, it's it's the massively the bulk. They have some office cost charges, you know, the charge of the building and that type of thing. But the bulk goes in right back into the salaries, which are very high. And there's once it's approved, it's very hard to get unapproved. The other strange thing here, if they decide on a new fee and the board approves it, and then they send it to the EPA and the state, and if they say it's okay, then the amount they charge is decided by their board. And it's often said, you know, this will help air quality, we need to do this. But then you read their staff reports, and they'll say this fee will have no effect on air quality. We are slated to bring in maybe, for example, on the winery, they started charging wineries a permit fee because when grapes ferment, they put off some gases. So they're going to continue to put off the gases. They can't stop it. But they now have to pay fees. They told the board it would bring in $50,000 a year, and it actually brings in over $160,000 a year. Though when they reported it to the board, they reported the $50,000 they first, and then they moved a second section over to another line item. But it's an agency that has been giving pay raises when everyone else is hurt. You know, when a lot of other agencies are cutting costs. The board just probably 8 months ago, voted to give Larry Allen a 17% pay raise, which in this economy is unusual, to say the least.
Yes. Let's do this. Let's first, so we get some idea of where we're going with
okay.
this. Who's the board? The board is made up of whom?
I do need to explain this in a more careful manner. The board is made up of all the county supervisors and a representative from all seven San Luis Obispo County cities.
Okay.
And the board is supposed to protect air quality in the county.
Okay.
And it used to be part of the county, but now it's its own autonomous board. And it, again, it subsists on fees and fines. And it has a problem right now. This has been said repeatedly in its board meetings. Larry Allen, the director, has said there is a problem with Morro Bay Power Plant. They get $300,000 a year in permit fees. It's closing down. If they're going to keep their salaries and everything running the same way it is now, they've got to pick up that $300,000. And that has been said repeatedly to the board, who then is also asked to approve new fees, new permits, and increase fee structures.
So let's talk about it. Okay, so we know who the board. The board, again, is the supervisors and the mayors.
Yeah. Not the mayors. A representative.
A representative of the seven incorporated cities. All right, so they get together and say, okay, here's what's going on. So, for instance, this wine thing came up, okay, and so there's a release of, I don't know what it is, it's not methane, but it'd be something, I don't know, when you do grapes, and you ferment grapes. So so something's released in the atmosphere, but my understanding is it was decided it was not harmful. It doesn't harm anything.
Well, any release at all attributes to some, it does affect air quality, I mean, not majorly. Not majorly, but the issue here in the staff report, monitoring it is not going to change it. It actually says it's going to have no effect on air quality, but it did bring $160,000 from private industry to the air quality board, and that is the complaint. Now, I think it was one of the heads of Everly Winery came in and spoke, and was quite passionate about, you know, we are one of the most regulated agencies. In the community, we help bring people to the community. We bring a lot of revenue to the community. Please don't do this to us. And somebody referred to him, according to Mike Brenler, who was in the meeting and who was appalled at the time. He was referred to as a polluter because he is fermenting grapes. So there has been a lot of aggression, and the board very often supports Larry Allen.
Do the grapes ever ferment naturally?
I am not sure.
Okay, but that's a question that I would ask. I go to one of the viticulture people and say, if let's say you had nothing, you walked away from all these grapevines, would any of these grapes just naturally ferment, you know? And if they said, well, yeah, of course, that's a characteristic of what, you know, grapes will do, then you have to ask yourself, okay, this witch hunt's gotten witchier, you know, in its own way, and that's a shame. But here's another. Let's talk about some of these examples and ask yourself, okay, what does this mean? Here's what they just appointed four new people. They just submitted for applicate for approval four new people on the California Coast Commission,
right,
which many of us find a fairly scary commission. Also, you know, I mean, they're pretty much self-regulated, and so whenever you get self-regulation in any kind of a government agency that can impose fines, can collect fees and impose fines, that's spooky. Now, they're saying, okay, we have this board, though. It has to go through the board. But here's an example right here you have. In October of 2010, the Air Quality District charged Cal Poly $13,215 for the reinspection of a Caterpillar tractor. However, according to Prop 26, which passed in 2010, if charges for permits and fees, inspections, and administrative enforcement are not reasonable, the fees need to be approved by a two-thirds vote by both houses of the California legislature, so which apparently didn't happen here. And so then the other thing is, there's part of this that we're going to try to understand about the APCD, all of us, is what's common sense and what's uncommon sense in all of this. So if you stick a thing up the tractor's pipe and you say, are you polluting at all because they're unregulated? You know, this is off-road vehicle. It's like an off-road vehicle, but it's a piece of construction equipment. No, it's going to pollute. Very nice. What is the purpose then of saying you're operating something that's going to pollute, and we're going to then fine you or charge you a fee? And what is that? It doesn't change anything.
Well, on the diesel engines, there were some laws passed. I don't have them in front of me. They were either state or federal a few years ago that said they need to start being as clean as possible and putting in some rings or something. And then because of that, the APCD now can monitor it every year. So what they do is Cal Poly, for example, will have a backup generator. And they'll go out once a year and make sure this backup generator's diesel engine has the proper rings and turn it on and make sure it's not polluting that they're. And they also make them keep a lot of log books. And most of the fines do not have to do with polluting. Most of the time when they go after someone for a fine, it has to do with logs and record keeping. But besides that, their bulk of their money isn't on that. It's on, okay, from now on we can... You're going to have to pay us this every year, $20,000 a year, $50,000, hundreds of thousands for someone like Cal Poly. Now, we're talking about salary for Warren Baker. We also have a similar pay going out to the APCD from the Cal Poly for them to come by and check some absolutely new equipment. They can hardly turn around without having to pay the APCD to say they turned correctly. And they have the ability... sometimes through a state law, then to regulate it the way they see fit.
All right, let me read a couple of paragraphs. Air Quality District Board's approval in closed session violated Government Code 54957.6, which says, closed sessions held pursuant to the selection, closed sessions held pursuant to this section shall not include final action on the proposed compensation of one or more unrepresented employees, according to CalAware attorney Terry Frankie. Compensation can neither be discussed nor acted upon in the closed session listed on the agenda as dealing with performance evaluation, Frankie said. Clearly, the vote should have been public and not just reported. A final action to approve compensation of an unrepresented employee must be an open session.
Absolutely, and they have done this for a very long time. It's been complained on. Their attorney, Ray Baring, allows them. Ray Baring is highly paid by the district. He is also paid to go on some of their, they have some pretty extravagant trips that they take throughout the state to different, to an agency that is called a nonprofit agency. They basically, you know, they have hospitality suites when they get there. They go to some of the best resorts in the state during tourist season. So there's state laws against some of this. We're going to have a section on this also. But there's a number of things going on. But Ray Baring has not, he is their lawyer. He is supposed to be making sure they comply with the Brown Act and Freedom of Information Act, which they absolutely do not. Whenever Larry Allen gets a raise, it's done in closed session, and it's not made. The vote's not made public as required by law. I've gone back to three different raises, and it's always that way. So then when I did get a couple of the board members to tell me, we weren't given the numbers. We were just told he hasn't had a raise in a long time. And that he's underpaid compared to what other people that do what he does are paid. But they weren't told what the employees are paid. They had no idea the bulk of the people in that group make over $100,000 a year. There are quite a few that make over $160,000 a year. And again, Ray himself, and we're talking, they have a lot of perks too and different fringes. He gets $240 a year. And you have to look at the entire package rather than just their salaries.
Right.
But this needed to be done in public, and I think if it had done in public, the public would have said, we have a right to know what the salaries are. But the APCD doesn't like to give out information on finances. For example, there are laws required that budgets and financial end-of-the-year expenditure reports are available to the public. The APCD is refusing to allow Calcoast News to see that report. And they've told me, oh, find a little section and we'll print that out. Well, they printed out. I wanted to see who the subcontractors are they work with. They printed me out a report that just has numbers. They don't even have them listed on this report by name. And I've never seen that in another agency. And everything you do is very tough to do and very often doesn't follow the law. For example, another example of breaking, this is the California Information Act, Freedom of Information Act, requires that the when you ask for a copy of something, they can't charge for employee time. They can charge what it costs that machine to shoot out that piece of paper and the cost of that paper.
Which is universally considered 20 cents, by the way.
Not government. It's 10 or under.
Oh,
and it's different. They can't. 20 cents is not allowed because it doesn't cost 20 cents. You can go to a copy house and get a copy for 5 cents.
Oh, okay, I see.
So they can't say that they're – now, I will say, though, that the county clerk recorder is allowed to charge more. She's allowed to charge for employee time, and that is the California government code does give her the right – I think she charges 20 cents a page. But
hence my confusion.
She's legally allowed to charge more than anyone else.
Okay.
And, again, because she can charge for employee time, for looking up the documents and everything else. The rest cannot. You can't tell someone they have to do the records request in writing. You can't ask for their address. You can't make them give you their name. Things that they do. Now, Larry Allen has said, well, I can do it because other air boards do it. They meet together and discuss the way they're going to run things, their agencies. They have this. They spend a lot of government funds on these meetings where they go and discuss this. But they also have something called Rule 112. And it's their rule for Public Records Act, for public records requests, which is much more stringent than the real law. And you can't make up a law of your own or a rule of your own that isn't, you know, that doesn't comply to state law. But they've done it. And when you ask, they just said, this is the way it's going to be. One of them made a comment to me when I was there one day. They said, you know, you sue us, and who do you think the judges in this town will vote for or will agree with? So they make it very tough.
All right. Now, another thing you mentioned is one of the things that also is very awkward is for the person that has to try to comply is the fact of these logs, that people have to keep these logs. Now, I will qualify this by saying this. Every radio station has to have a public file. It doesn't have to be in a certain filing cabinet in a certain place. It just has to be someplace where you can get it and hand it to a member of the public that wants to see what's in the public file. There's not a place for it. There's a, you know, we have to post licenses certain places, you know, but the public file, the information that you want to get. So now we have a situation we had incident with Circle K and where their logs were. And this, I guess, is in the event that some refrigerant or something would escape from one of their coolers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then where's the log supposed to be?
Well, they have a binder. And the alarm log, the binder was there, but the chapter on the alarm log was not in that binder. And it had three sections. It had the alarm log. It had it had three different parts of that section. It had a sample alarm log and something else. So there's three sections and that it's supposed to be there. So the air quality board here in town decided that's four infractions. Because it was somewhere else in the store and was not in the binder. Now, they originally sent, and anything, this is the thing, they've got a fine of $1,000 a day for anything, whether you're actually releasing pollutant or you did a record-keeping error. And unlike many government agencies, they don't give you a warning first on a small infraction. They go right in and give you a fine. So they sent an $88,000 fine to Circle K. Well, Circle K responded back with, hey, explain this to me. How did you come to $88,000 on this infraction? And then the APCD sent back a letter to Circle K saying, we made a mistake. It's, I think they said 260-some thousand. And in that letter, they said, you, then this is something they commonly do. If you haven't really polluted, if you've done something that they can prove, they usually want the full amount. But if they've done something that may get, you know, it's kind of an iffy, smaller incident, even though the fines are very often higher, they'll give a payoff amount. If you pay us $8,000 by always within 2 weeks, so you don't really have time to go to an attorney and decide if you're going to fight this, we'll drop it. So Circle K could consider, okay, we can pay $260 or we can pay the other. The other interesting thing on this is they go, they're all over the place. There's unfair enforcement. And even on the Circle K, on an earlier draft, they did the $88,000 and they wrote that letter. We made an error. You owe us $340,000 or something.
Yeah, it was $340,000.
And so they're all over the place. And sometimes they'll note on one of their drafts, oh, that might be too high or we could get more. So it seems to be more about who they're going after as opposed to having a standard way of going after this. I've had one owner of a hotel here in town tell me that they told him, hey, you've got money, you can pay this. And I've there's a gas station owner, and it does, if you're a public official, there does appear to be a different enforcement. One of their board members works at a school. They went after that school for some funds, and when she complained, they took it away. But I'm not seeing that taken away from other schools. There is another public official, Kachu Asajian, who owns gas stations in the area. He is quite appalled at some of the, he would like to see them give warnings and to change some of their methods. But on a paperwork that I saw, and I absolutely do not, I asked him about this, and he said he did not know about this, and it was a small amount. But his gas station did a record-keeping error, and the gas station around the corner did that record-keeping error. Kacho's station did it four times as long. So I had four times the infractions, or I had four infractions instead of one or something. And again, they were both very small, little issues. They gave the other guy that had much less four times the fine they gave Kacho. And you see this regularly. It seems to depend on who you are and how much money you have.
Mm. Wow. I'm trying to think of where to go from here. Part of the thing is that, and the other thing too, the part that's intriguing to me is when you're. Well, I've told you this story once before, that the only time I've dealt with the APCD once, and I wasn't required to, but I volunteered when my wife and I were doing marketing for Slow Roasted Coffee. And I was just curious, since that's when I called the APCD and I said, okay, you made Slow Roasted Coffee put an afterburner on their roaster that cost them almost $500,000. And they weren't fined or anything, but they had to put the afterburner on. I said, now you have people roasting downtown San Luis Obispo. You have people roasting on South Higuera in San Luis Obispo. Every night, you know, you can drive down and smell it, you know. And I said, so what is the basis for which you decide what someone has to do to spend the money to negate, you know, whatever they're doing to the environment? And I said, you know, does it have to do with how much of a business you do, how much roasting you do, or how often you roast, or what does it have to do with? And the woman said to me, and I mean this, and I will just tell you, she said, it just has to do with what I say it has to do with. And I said, oh okay. You know, I was like stumped with that. I mean, I was so taken aback by that answer that I thought, oh, well, okay. And she told us we had to do this, you know, but it seemed to make no sense. And then I tried going to the Internet and saying, okay, is there a regulation? I'm going to look up coffee roasting and what regulation there is to how it has to be controlled. I couldn't find a thing, of course. There's nothing out there for it. So, you know, it's just this idea of being able to go along and say we're going to make this up as we go, which is really what it's about, is a little bit spooky.
And, you know, in this economy, there's a lot of businesses that go under during this. I have a list of violations, and regularly you'll see closed. You know, didn't pay fine, folded business. Didn't pay fine, folded. Closed down. So not only, I think it has more of an effect on the economy, and I absolutely think we need to watch air quality. But does the Air Quality Board verifying someone has a contractor license, There's several things they've done that and this is another thing that Kato talked to me about. There is a certain amount of release that they have every time you pump gas and you put it back into the pump.
Right.
So the air board gets to find them and gets to make them pay permits because they have a release. So they have to give them a yearly amount. And they get to come in and inspect and make new rules. So they came in and said, you know, we're going to increase your fines because you have three pumps per unit. And you have to pay three times. But it only releases if you're using that pump, and you can't use more than one pump more than one handle at a time. But if you've noticed, most gas stations have gone to the one pump, which I think he told me cost him $200,000, either per gas station or for both gas stations. But it absolutely is impossible to use two at a time. You can't stick them in two gas stations.
But here's the other thing that I'm not understanding. So you mean to tell me that they pay a fee. Is it a fine or a fee?
It's a fee, a permit fee.
A permit. So they pay a permit fee from the time you get the thing out of your gas tank to the time you get it back into the gas pump?
Well, no, I think they pay a permit fee depending on how many handles they have. And before it was how many tanks.
But it's based on what release of what?
I guess there's some release of fumes when you pump your gas. There's some.
Supposedly, the California law requires that your pumps now have a recovery system.
It does, but there's still a small release. And anytime there's any release, again, we have grapes fermenting. Anytime there's any release, they can get a fee. But if the fee is not going to change anything, you know, if the fee doesn't make a difference, again, on the fermenting of grapes, it's going to have absolutely no difference on air quality. But because that they can show that, then they can actually regulate, go in and check the wineries on occasion and get paid to go in and check and get fees from the wineries.
Well, this is fascinating because what they could have is they could have a roaming individual that on a daily basis, what they would do is they just go park at any given gas station, and anytime there was spillage, you know, somebody was cloddy, you know, and they spilled some on the ground, they could have a fee for that.
If their board approves it, and they do, and I have been told by board members that when you're sitting there and we've got to protect public health, we've got to protect public health, over and over and over again, that this is about public health, that they are very likely to approve. I was talking to one board member last week, and they told me I don't understand most of what I hear in there, but I have to trust staff because they understand it. But what the board is supposed to be doing is you have a board because staff should not be in control. And I've been told by several, and the other thing is this is a constantly changing board.
Right.
And some that actually later said they wish they hadn't voted certain ways, and a lot of them. I think probably 8 out of 10 that I've spoken to said, I made mistakes on the board. I first came in, and I didn't understand and voted how staff told me. And in the beginning, I also felt like I have to go along with the others because they know what they're doing. But after a while, they realized, hey, none of us knew what we were doing, and we kept voting in things. And once they voted it in, it's almost impossible to take it back.
So they're just basically voting on staff recommendation.
Yeah.
This is interesting. So, because you take, for an example, let's go back to the gas pump thing. If the gas pumps are operating on the highest technology available to the gas peddler in the United States of America, and somehow there's still a release of fumes, vapors, from every fill-up, but they're complying with, to the greatest degree that is possible, that which is available to them to prevent, you know, release of fumes into the air. At that point, to me, then, it seems to me that that's kind of capricious then to go in and say, yeah, but we know some's getting out, so we're going to charge you money for it.
Yes, and there's several. This is probably going to be a five-part series.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, we have a section coming out tomorrow primarily on the dunes and what's going on with the dunes. And we're going to have some on some of the different businesses around town. And actually several went extra green in new building projects and have said, no, because I went extra green, I used more BTUs, and the air district can now control me. I'll never go that green again. So it's actually having an effect of less green. I've been told more than one person, I won't go green again. I can't afford to go green and have to pay them. There's some times that they can say, okay, if you have this type of system and it uses this many BTUs, well, if you go green, for example, on a boiler system, if you're a hotel and you do just one major boiler and shoot hot water all over the place, it's lower BTUs, but it's not very green. If instead you put in five or six different BTUs in different sections, and very often then you have a backup system, they claim if you have the backup system working and the regular system working, the BTUs are up this high, even though they absolutely can never work together because it doesn't function that way, then they can get you for having them have to monitor it and having them come out and have a yearly permit fee. And they have said, next time I won't go that green. I'll do a backup system for the main one and go as I won't do it, because you end up paying a lot more for going green.
Okay, tomorrow we're gonna visit the dunes. Once again, I want you to know this. There's a Viewpoint article by the head of the APCD, Larry Allen, in Sunday's paper and yesterday's paper of the Tribune. Dust emission rules passage is an issue of public health. His opinion of that. We'll talk about some other opinions. Are you going to come in tomorrow?
Yeah, I can come in tomorrow.
Okay.
Also.
So Karen will be back in tomorrow, but. And don't forget, you can phone in. If you want to phone in questions or comments or anything, please feel free at 786-2578. Right, we're about done today, but write this down so you have it tomorrow. Our local number is 786-2578. That's 786-2578. Our toll-free number is 1-866-937-1340, 1-866-937-1340. You're certainly welcome to call in and comment and be part of this discussion with Karen and Bill Benica. Tomorrow when we I think I've come up with a solution to how we're doing things. It's really obvious and simple on how to measure what's coming off the dunes and hitting the mesa, and why I'm the one to think of it. I have no idea, because it seems like, well, why would anybody think of it? Okay. So tomorrow, join Karen Veeley and Bill Benica.
Are you going to give your reason tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
At one, I'm going to give my. It's a system. It's a way to do this that just would seem to be logical. But we'll do this tomorrow. And join Karen and I at 105. And we look forward to another news update from CalCoastNews.com with Karen Veeley. And I thank you for joining me, Karen.
Thank you.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
So, lunch. Where to today?
Something good.
Drive-thru tacos?
I said good.
Burgers?
Ugh. If I eat one more burger, I think I'll turn into a cow.
Oh, I know. How about the buffet at Round Table Pizza?
Round Table Pizza has a buffet?
Not only do they have one, it's fantastic. Spectacular array of choices and the freshest ingredients. Best of all, just $6.99 for all you can eat.
$6.99? That's less than those value meals at the burger places. But wait, it's so good and the price so reasonable. There's got to be a line around the block to get in, right?
No waiting. There's 7 locations on the Central Coast. Plus, we can order online at roundtablepizza.com and start eating when we walk in the door.
Order online at roundtable.com? What are we waiting for? You order, I'll get the car. We're going to Round Table Pizza for the lunch buffet.
Round Table, the last honest pizza.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
And when you stop by now, you can buy 4 select tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service. That's expert service and money back in your pocket.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Be participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
All right, break out. That's what we're breaking out the news right here from CalCoastNews.com. And so we'll have Karen back in tomorrow, and we'll continue with this series on the APCD. And what's tomorrow, we'll talk about the dunage thing and what's going on in the dune. You're Bill Benneke. This is 1340 K1S, your news station in San Luis Obispo. And I'll make sure that I give out numbers a lot tomorrow. I apologize for that. Sometimes I don't get a lot of calls here, so I sometimes forget. I think you do. Ratings are good. Sometimes I don't get a lot of calls. I don't know what that is. I don't know. Okay, we have just a little bit of time. I'm trying to think where we're going with a little bit of time we have. This is somebody so many people know. Let me get to this. Forgive me. I have a newspaper, local thing all over everywhere today, and I apologize for sounding like I'm totally out of whack here. Is this it? Oh, you know what we didn't cover? Josh Wright and I, we didn't cover Pacquiao. Is that how you say it? Pacquiao? Wins by a decision. So the boxing match, the big boxing match. And this guy's like a senator or something from the Philippines. And yet he gets mad. You know what I'm saying? I think it's the politics that does it. It gets crazy in the head. It's okay, I can't deal with this anymore. All right. Oh, it's so hard sometimes when you got stuff all over and you're trying to find something. But I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it in time or not. Okay. Let's try to find it. The weekend was okay. I tell you what I did this weekend. So this is why I didn't get to watch my football. We had a nice weekend off, and took the little rascals up there to Monterey. Went to the aquarium, that whole shebang. It was very nice. Aquarium totally remains one of the coolest. Our Monterey Bay Aquarium is one of the West Coast wonders of all time. It totally remains so cool. I can't believe it. So if you haven't been for a while, you know, it's just still absolutely super duper. And they add new displays all the time, and things are really cool. They have I don't know if the jellyfish thing was there the last time I was there. The seahorse thing was there, but it's there again, and it's totally cool. So anyway, so if you get a chance to go to our California Monterey Bay Aquarium, I recommend you do so. It is super. All right, and we talked about Chelsea Clinton. That was it. There was one other thing I wanted to mention, but I can't find it. And so that's okay. But here, this is important. The Old Paso courthouse is finally sold because they've been working on it for a long time. Third time's a charm. The building that has been vacant since 2008 goes for $377,500. And it was bought by Richard Lenz. The courthouse at 549 10th Street became vacant in 2008 when they opened a new courthouse. County has twice tried to sell it before. A spokesman for Lenz said the buyer intends to renovate the property, then lease the building and hold on to it for a long-term investment. The proceeds will go toward defraying the cost of the new courthouse, which is a good idea. And that's what's happened in Paso de Robles. Tomorrow's Tuesday. We'll get together again at noon's your clock. Until the mayor trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
The game is over.
The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benneke.
Bye, 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 bye.
Happy trails to you.